Well, last week was the Santa Claus parade here in Coburg and in Toronto, and I'm sure in many other places. And the Jolly Man in Red is now visiting with children in local malls. Christmas music of the popular variety is being played in those same malls and on certain radio stations. If you are out and about in the world, as far as Christmas goes, the refrain that we hear is, "Sleigh bells ring, can you hear them?" Nothing is really pointing us towards the light of Christmas. Few of those popular choruses talk about a star that led and guided people towards the baby Jesus. And we are right now at the beginning of Advent. A day when we look forward with hopeful expectation of a birth to come. Advent is a season of preparation as we anticipate the birth of Jesus. For us, the star has not yet risen. We do not yet hear the call to Bethlehem. Today, we prepare ourselves, and the scripture passages which Jan read this morning, they all point to future events of a time that is still yet to come. They prepare us not only for the birth of Christ, but for the reign of the kingdom of God. And this morning, I want to turn our attention towards the words of Isaiah. Words that were written some 2,500 years ago. Words that still carry a message for us today. And I am particularly struck by the words which Isaiah opens with. In days to come. In days to come. These words remind us that the promises of God are always found before us. That God is at work in our lives, and that there is a purpose for why we are here. As we move through Isaiah, we are reminded that God occupies the high ground. And this can be interpreted literally and figuratively. In Israel, Jerusalem occupied the high ground, and it was within the temple there that God was believed to dwell. However, of more importance and relevance, I believe, is that God's justice and righteousness is something that we should look up to. That God holds us to a higher standard than anything we could ever hold ourselves to. Therefore, we look up to God. And we are to encourage others to do the same, so that all nations might stream towards God's goodness and mercy. In days to come, we will learn of God's ways, and we will walk in God's paths. In a few short weeks, we will journey with Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. We will witness the Word becoming flesh. We will hear the pronouncement of choruses of angels. In the fullness of time, Jesus would teach many things and encourage many to turn towards God. And that message endures and is shared with us today. We come to God. We turn to Jesus in order to learn his ways and walk in his paths. The earliest followers of Jesus were known as followers of the way, for they followed in the way of Jesus Christ. And we also follow in that tradition as followers of Christ, and we seek to live as those early followers did. To heal the injured and feed the hungry, to minister to one another, and to offer the same grace that we have also received. It is through Jesus Christ, his teaching ministry, his healing ministry, that we learn about what God is looking for from us. It is the Word made flesh which teaches us, inspires us, and calls us to work together for something greater, for something larger than ourselves, for God's kingdom. In days to come, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And how I wait, how I long for this day to come. When nations shall no longer lift up the sword against other nations, how I long for this day to come. This is a day, an event for which I say, come, Lord Jesus, come. The destruction we bring upon ourselves is devastating, damaging. It alienates us from one another, damages our planet, and all that we should be working towards. I have an infographic on the desktop of my computer. It's a few years old now. It was published in 2010, but it counts all the nuclear weapons in existence in the world. There were, in that infographic, 3,091 nuclear launchers or missile silos in existence in the world, capable of firing 6,071 nuclear warheads. And the reality is, it would only take a handful of those to irrevocably change life on the planet as we know it. Come, Lord Jesus, come. How I long for the day when swords shall be beaten into plowshares, and we will learn to live with our fellow human beings. I yearn for the day when we will no longer desire for war, when we will no longer send our young women and men into conflict and harm. We do not hear much about the topic of disarmament, but it is still a vital discussion, not only of weapons of mass destruction, but of the hostility that resides within each of us. We can lay down our weapons. If we can set aside our hostility, and then in the days to come, we can witness a new era of peace and prosperity. How I long for that day to come. Yet when I look back on the last decade, when I look back upon the last century, I see a period in time which would bloody the books of history. A time that shows the brutality and desperation of humanity. A period in time which saw the rise of a military industry, which is only satisfied while there is continued conflict. In his book, 13 Days in September, Carter, Begin, and Sadat at Camp David, which details the 1978 conference where the peace accord between Israel and Egypt was signed, a lasting peace in the Middle East which survives to this day. In the description of the events which led up to that conference, staff writer for the New Yorker, Lawrence Wright, he reflected, peace no longer seemed necessary or even desirable. Peace no longer seemed necessary or even desirable. And it seems to me that in many ways that statement reflects much about the present state of the world. It saddens me and fills me with profound regret that as a people, we seem to have become more divided. That through globalization, advances in technology, we have not drawn closer, but instead have moved farther apart. That for much of the world, peace is not desirable. That for much of the world, it does not seem necessary. That people and nations would rather be in conflict than at peace with one another. Come, Lord Jesus, come. For in days to come, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. We trust in the promises of God that this day is coming. And we stand at the beginning of Advent with the hope that this day is coming. And we seek to walk in the light of the Lord, and we anticipate the light coming into the world again. And we know that the light shines in the darkness, and that the darkness does not overcome it. Advent begs us to look at the world anew. Henry Miller once said, "Our destination is never a place, but always a new way of looking at things." The world around us might tell us that Advent is a time when sleigh bells ring and jolly old men say, "Ho, ho, ho." But we know that Advent is a time when we look at the world in a new way, when we consider again the promises of God. In days to come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen.